Space Podcast.
Weird.
Hey there. I'm talking to you.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Craig.
It's me, Craig.
How are you, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Hey, welcome to Weird, Aaron.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this by myself.
No, it wouldn't be as entertaining. It would be as funny. I give you that.
I don't know about that.
But not as entertaining.
But hey, you, the listener, welcome to Weird.
Yeah, and welcome to Weird, I'd like to say, to Anna993.
Anna993.
She left us a five-star
review. Good old Anna993. How do we know it's not Anna993?
She comes from the land down under, too.
Anna993.
Here's what she said. Love listening to the Weird podcast on my drive to work. These two guys are so genuine and easygoing that they make you feel like you're part of the conversation.
Well, you know, Anna993, who gave us 5 stars.
Or Anna993.
Or Anna993.
From down under.
Or ANA993.
Don't you know?
Either way, you're 5 stars to me. That's all I'm going to say.
I like that. Yeah.
And hey, you know what? We appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing.
We love the Aussies.
We got tons of news to get to tonight. But, you know, I'm always happy to share when I discover a really good podcast.
Yeah.
And I sent you this week. Did you get to listen?
Yes, I did.
Okay, it's Critical Cactus.
I love that name.
CriticalCactus.net is their website.
Yep.
And their description is, who you hang out with can change your life. I've noticed that this past year since I've been doing this podcast.
Mine's been going down.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, back to what they said. Who you hang out with can change your life. So come hang out with us. That's what they're talking about, them.
Yeah, they're not us. Them.
No, them. They debate current science news from different perspectives, but they always use critical thinking. So who knows?
Maybe we should try that sometime.
Maybe they'll get a PhD guest or two to help them think. We could hook them up with Dr. Brooks.
You don't start. Don't start writing checks with that mouth. Your butt can't cash.
Kevin Cronin hadn't called yet, has he?
No, he has not.
Okay, there's these guys say there's always a slippery slope story that we're sure to poke holes in. In all the right places. So what did you listen to? Which episode?
I listened to the episode about rich people. And
I did too.
Oh, and we didn't plan that.
No.
I liked it. It was really nice because it was just like conversational.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was aligned to a lot of their views anyway.
You're aligned, all right. If you're a lion, I'm a dime, or something like that.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Anywho, I liked it. I thought it was good. I'll have to check out one or two of the other ones. I have to make myself stop and remember.
Yes.
You know, I'm so scatterbrained. My ADD kicks in.
It does really bad.
But yeah, I flipped it on, started listening to it, listened to the whole thing. It was awesome. Yeah. It's really good. I like the fact that it was not. Aggressive is a word, maybe.
No,
it wasn't. It was just matter of fact kind of conversation between two guys.
Exactly.
And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really
me
good.
Me too. And you felt like you're part of the conversation, like Anna993 said.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I bet Anna993 would probably enjoy listening
to
this
podcast. Well, maybe she'll give
them a listen. Anna993, you need to listen to Critical Cactus.
Yeah. And they say that they discuss science, politics, religion, conspiracy theories.
Do you think they ever talk about the politics of dancing?
I don't know, but they did blind me with science, and I know they talk about
that. Yeah, you got to be careful with that, too. You got to put your shades on. You know why? Because their future's so bright.
Oh, it is. And they're brand new. They only have 3 episodes up so far.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new, so you can get on the front end of this train. So anyway, go to criticalcactus.net. We'll put a link to that in our in our show notes, too.
Yeah, check those guys out.
Man, we got news. Are you ready?
I don't know that I am ready, actually.
Well, hit it.
I'm ready.
Story.
Woman pulls gun after being shorted chicken nugget.
Please tell me this was in Florida.
Are chicken nuggets this important to people? Remember the lady that got upset because they were not cooking fast enough?
Yes.
And so now we've gone from upset, jumping over the counter, hitting people, to just pulling guns on them.
That's crazy. You think she ordered like a 6-piece and got 5 or a 20-piece? Because if you order a 20-piece, you get 19. Bah, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what?
Or the fact that you're ordering pink slime.
Exactly.
And you're getting that upset over
They're
pink
doing you
slime.
A favor.
Yeah, they're like, they're maybe putting 1 year back on you.
Exactly.
Life. A Washington woman is in jail after she... Wow, Washington. It's not Florida for a change.
Oh, man. Darn it.
After she pulled a gun on fast food employees for a long wait time and being shorted a chicken nugget.
That's like we just said. They're doing her a favor.
Yeah, so she's upset because it's taking too long to get them, and then they give her one less than she's supposed to have.
Do you think she would have gone back to the counter if they had given her 7 instead of 6?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think I would have either. A Washington woman I've already talked about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just try this again. The News Tribune reports the 19-year-old became irritated when she didn't get her drink right away.
Uh-oh. So that was like she went one. She said
that
that's one.
That was one. She then complained there was something in her drink. That was two.
Yeah.
And eventually discovered she was short one chicken nugget. That's three.
She
game
said,
over.
All right.
Yep. Employees say that's when she threw the drink at the window and pointed a handgun at them. Employees of the Southern Hill restaurant called police, who subsequently went to the house where her car was registered and found her hiding in the attic, clutching some chicken nuggets. Or I guess maybe not.
No.
Police arrested the woman for second-degree assault and ordered her jailed on a $75,000 bond. That's an expensive pack of nuggets.
That really is. She's going to be sorry. You know, we worked in fast food for a while.
We did.
We worked at Dairy Queen.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I've worked at... You mean I could just name the places I've worked as a teenager?
I tell you, I worked in quite a few fast food joints myself.
I never worked at McDonald's, though.
Me either.
That's weird.
Burger King, I did.
SK worked there, though.
Yeah, SK did.
Yeah, we're glad he did, too.
He would load us up. We've talked about that before.
But let's see. I worked at Crystal.
Me, too.
You followed me around because you were a group.
I was at Dairy Queen
before.
I was Dairy Queen before
Crystal,
you.
Crystal. I worked at an El Taco.
I didn't do that.
I worked delivering pizzas at two different pizza places.
Me, too. Actually, yeah, too.
And I worked at a Chick-fil-A once.
I never worked at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But I worked at Burger King.
Never worked there.
I got fat there.
Is that
anyway,
your excuse?
Headline is sleepy burglary suspect caught taking a nap. And this comes to us.
You got
to
sleep if you're sleepy.
This comes to us from Putnam County, West Virginia. Compliments of WCBD. A man breaks into a home in West Virginia, then apparently decides to stay. Jeffrey Holbrook came
home. Someone's been sleeping in my bed.
Jeffrey Holbrook came home to what he thought was just a break-in and started to record the damage when he realized he wasn't alone. There was a stranger asleep in his bed. He didn't just lay down on the couch.
Somebody's been sleeping in my bed and they're still there.
He climbed up and cuddled into the bed. Holbrook called for help. He was asleep. We have a confrontation. I don't know if he was armed, Holbrook said. The
police
are coming.
So obviously he wouldn't have opened the door.
Putnam County Sheriff's deputies identified the man as Stacy Foster. Stacy Foster.
Yeah, that sounds like just a guy next door.
Old man Foster's boy. Who is heard on the video saying that he has no idea how he wound up in Holbrook's bed.
Wait. What is he, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah. He'll go on to star in multi-million-dollar movies.
Yes.
Foster lives about 15 miles away. He faces charges for burglary and destruction of property.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I want to see a video of this. This next headline says, judge tosses lawyers in jail for courtroom fistfight.
He must be muscular.
Really muscular. And I would think he'd let somebody else do the heavy lifting. Like
yeah, he's
bailiff.
A judge.
Yeah, let the bailiff do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, sit on your bench and, you know.
Yeah, don't you just be judgy on your bench over there, buddy. Hey, you know, we were in a local courthouse recently. Remember, we were like banging the gavel on
yes,
the thing.
No, I wasn't.
I was.
I know you were.
I thought I was going to get arrested later.
Yeah, I tried.
A child custody hearing in Georgia took an unexpected turn on Wednesday when two attorneys got into a fistfight before being kicked out of the courtroom and thrown in jail. Attorneys John Thigpen Jr. and Kenneth Futch had to be separated by Pierce County Sheriff
you gotta
Ramsey
keep them separated.
Bennett about 2 hours into a contentious court hearing regarding the custody of a child, the Florida Times Union reports.
Wait a minute. In
Florida, you're falling down on the job.
I didn't know this was a Florida story.
I was the first one to them, Bennett told the newspaper. I and my two captains separated them. I don't mean pushing and shoving. I mean a fist fight. Superior Court Judge Andrew Spivey found both men in contempt of court and ordered them held overnight.
You know, I've heard of contempt of court. This is textbook contempt of court.
No, you don't fight in the middle of a courtroom.
No.
The judge will not have any of that.
No, sir.
These are the same people that won't let you wear a hat.
No.
So why would they put up with fist fights?
Nope.
He said, this hearing is concluded and you two gentlemen are going to jail, Bennett said. Spivey later called Bennett and told him to release the attorneys after they cooled off several hours later. That's the one cool thing about being a judge.
Yeah.
You get in a bad mood one day, you just put everybody in the room in jail.
I'd be in jail all the time if you were a judge.
You and I'd be talking back to him. You were in jail for 24 hours. Why don't you make it 48?
Okay,
48. Yeah, I thought so. 72. You want to make it a whole week, buddy? I don't think you'll do it. 2 weeks.
That would be us.
So anyway, back to our story.
Hmm.
It's unclear what led to... You just went, hmm.
I did.
It's unclear what led to the fight, but the two attorneys have a contentious history, according to the newspaper.
Oh, boy.
Futch threatened to have Thigpen arrested last year while he was serving as a judge for Blackshear Municipal Court, where he accused Thigpen of trying to solicit clients by offering them pro bono legal services.
Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with that?
Giving them free services?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no law against that.
Maybe there is.
This guy, Futch.
This is why we're not...
He was sitting in for a judge, probably sick or something. He thought, this is my chance.
Maybe. Thigpen later began representing Futch's wife,
uh-oh,
Sheila Futch, after she was charged with aggravated assault for shooting her husband during an incident at a couple's home in April 2016. This got confusing really quick. So Futch's wife, Sheila...
Shoots him.
Shot Futch?
Yes, her husband. During an incident.
Thigpen also claimed at the time to have an audio recording of Kenneth Futch using racial slurs while berating his wife in their home. I wouldn't be berating a woman who's got a gun aimed at me.
I want to see this movie.
Futch later resigned as a judge, saying he didn't want to cause the city of Blackshear any embarrassment, although he claimed the accusations were a private matter.
Of course
he
would.
So he was a judge, and when he resigned, he just went back to being an attorney.
Yes, that's it. And now he's fist fighting. Now he's a boxer.
Just remind me if I'm ever working at a fast food joint to make sure he gets all his nuggets and they're on time.
This is, let's stick with the jail theme. Headline is, woman jailed after assault with a George Foreman grill. Now, how could we not read this story?
Hope there are grill marks on somebody's head.
Melanie Dawn Sheehan, three-named woman, age 23, appeared before Chief Judge Nancy Orr in a provincial court in Georgetown, where she pleaded guilty to assault with a weapon and failing to comply with recognizance.
Shouldn't that be George Formantown?
Oh, yeah. The court heard that on April 3rd, the victim was home alone when Sheehan went to his apartment. Both of them were under a court order to have no contact with each other. Well, he stepped out of line right there.
I guess so.
The victim reported he had been ignoring Sheehan's attempts to contact him, and after the two got into a heated argument, she wouldn't leave. Crown attorney Cindria Wedge said that at one point, the victim insulted Sheehan, and she hit him in the face. Sheehan later hit him in the head with what she said in court was a George Foreman grill.
I mean, is it being used for anything else?
He was a boxer.
That's true.
The court heard that on her way out of the apartment, Sheehan also punched the victim's TV while she was holding a pair of scissors. When the police arrived...
Wait. On her way out of the apartment,
yeah,
Sheehan also punched the victim's TV while she was... Oh, she punched the TV with the scissors?
I guess. Either that or she had one in one hand and punched the other. I don't know what the scissors,
I don't know what scissors have to do with any of it. That's what I'm confused about.
When the police arrived, they found the apartment was in a mess, and the victim had several injuries, including cuts and blood on the back of his head and a George grill mark across his eye.
Sear marks across his face.
They found Sheehan walking, and she told them that she couldn't leave the apartment right away because she was gathering her things. Sheehan told the police the victim hit her with his forearm. So she said, I'll hit you with four men.
Maybe that's where I see what you did there. Wah, waka, waka.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's where Mike Tyson got the tattoo on his face.
Oh, it could be.
It's a George Foreman original.
She also told both parties hadn't been following any of the stay-away orders. She's just digging her hole deeper.
This
deeper.
Is just crazy.
Before sentencing, Sheehan Orr told her that if she goes to someone's home and is asked to leave, she has to leave.
So that's just polite.
Yeah, that's what the judge told her. You have no right to stay, Judge Orr said. Sheehan's response was out of proportion to the situation, Orr said, and hitting the victim in the head with a grill was a very serious matter.
What if it had been a blender?
She said.
Or like a toaster.
The judge said it's a wonder you didn't kill him.
She said, well, if you guys wouldn't have burst in, I would if you snap her head.
Oh, boy.
What are you going to hit there?
I was looking to see if we had a Canada theme.
We just need to sing O Canada.
Oh, we do have a Canada theme.
Darn it.
That's not... That joke's running thin.
Is it really?
You need to get some other sound.
I was out with Lori and Sarah over the weekend.
We don't
shopping,
talk about Lori.
And Lori actually said...
Darn it.
And Sarah said, oh!
Like it's the like her, it's like her. It's like her, what you talking about, Willis?
It is. It's exactly right.
She's going to shoot to fame because of that.
We need a shirt that says...
Darn it.
So we'll go to O Canada now. We'll go to Canadia.
Beauty, eh?
Canadian police are investigating the theft of a mummified human toe served in drinks. All right.
Oh, I saw a picture of this nasty drink, too. There's no way I'm putting it. It wouldn't get near my lips.
Oh, my gosh. Police in Canadia, as I like to call it, have launched an investigation after a patron at a Yukon bar allegedly stole the famed ingredient of their signature drink, a mummified human toe.
Yes.
For more than 40 years, the downtown hotel in Dawson City has served up the sour toe cocktail, a shot of whiskey with a blackened toe, nail and all.
And it's a real
bobbing
human toe.
Inside. That's... Those who manage to touch the gnarled, severed toe to their lips earn a certificate.
Gross. That's just bizarre.
Canada really needs something, and I don't know what it is.
And, of course, it's Dawson City. I like to picture like an old West town, yeah. You know.
And that was one of the original gunslingers.
Yeah.
Wait, did they have gunslingers in Canada?
No, they had rock throwers.
Rock throwers. No, they had beer drinkers.
Yeah, the police still ride horses up there.
Yeah. On Saturday, a customer took it one step further, allegedly making off with a wrinkled digit after swallowing his drink. We are furious, eh? Said Terry Lee of the hotel. Oh, toes are very hard to come by.
What's his name?
Terry Lee.
Terry Lee from Canada. I wonder if he's kin to Getty. Gotta be.
It's beauty, eh? It gotta be, because the name gotta Lee be, is so unused all around,
well,
right?
Well, Canadians.
Canadian, eh?
Beauty.
We should say that a bunch.
Take off.
I wish some of our Canadian friends were listening, or they would give us some input on this beauty of a way we carry about with the Canadian stuff, eh?
I just want to hear about this toe they put in drinks.
Oh, sorry. So back to this. The man had apparently boasted of his plans to steal the toe earlier in the evening. You know what they should do when they catch him?
What?
Take his toe.
Oh, they should. But they already have spares. I read ahead, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thanks for telling everybody.
Spare digits coming.
Spoiler alert.
Spare digits coming.
The man had apparently boasted of his plans to steal the toe earlier in the evening. He later convinced a staff member to let him try the drink outside of the designated two-hour window known at the bar as toe time.
That's toe time.
And this is how he pays her back,
yeah.
Lee said in a news relief. What a lowlife, eh?
Beauty.
The tradition claims to trace its roots to the 1920s. When a rum runner preserved his frostbitten, amputated big toe in a jar of alcohol in his cabin. 50 years later, the pickled toe was discovered by a Yukon native who brought it to the downtown, where it became a celebrated ingredient in its drinks.
Oh, my gosh.
After Saturday's theft, the hotel contacted the police and began offering a reward to anyone with information. We fortunately have a couple of backup toes, but we really need this one back, eh? said Lee. It was the, I just don't know, there's nothing can be said after that.
No.
That says everything. Okay, you got to wonder, first of all, who drinks with somebody's mummified toe?
Oh.
And then who keeps spares, and where'd the spares come from?
Isn't that illegal?
Where'd the spares come from?
Exactly. Well, they go on to explain.
I'm sure you've already read that.
I have.
To ruin it for everybody.
I'm not going to.
It was the newest addition to their collection, donated by a man who had to have his toe surgically removed.
See?
After curing it for 6 months in salt. Oh. Well, if he cured it, why is it not back on his foot again? The staff had only begun adding it to
drinks. Oh, it had a staff infection, too.
Added it to drinks. They started. Okay, you got me all messed up now.
Sorry,
the staff had only begun adding it to the drinks this weekend, the hotel manager told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
CBC.
This was our new toe, eh? And it was a really good one, eh? Said Jerry Colburn. Colburn.
I wonder if it was manicured or something. What makes it a good one?
Yeah, people are like spitting the nails out. At least 8 other toes have gone missing over the years, some stolen while others have been swallowed.
Oh, God.
The original toe belonging to the rum runner was accidentally swallowed by a miner after 7 years at the hotel, giving rise to another tradition, the hotel's constant search for toes.
Why are they serving miners? That's illegal here in the States.
You think so, yeah. Got frostbite? Reads an advertisement on its website, which goes on to promise that those who donate toes will be immortalized in the Sour Toe Hall of Fame. The hotel said it had received 10 donated toes.
Gosh. That's a whole foot.
That's a
whole body.
Big toes are preferred over the years, including a few that were left to the establishment through wills. Here's an idea. How about if you're going to go out on a limb?
Oh,
and you're going to give somebody your toe. How about you give them free drinks for the rest of their life?
Sure. If I donate a body part, somebody's going to be paying up something.
Yeah. I want free nuggets.
Yes.
Or nachos. But none of them nachos that put you into a coma.
Don't go to the gas station to get
your
nachos.
Don't get them there. I think of that every time I go somewhere now and see those.
Headline is Doug.
I ain't going nowhere.
Headline is Doug walks into pub, drinks a pint, and then fights a dog. Sounds like a joke. This duck walks into a bar. Britain's booziest duck that became a celebrity for downing pints in his local pub has been seriously injured in a brawl with a dog.
Well, the dog's going to win.
The bird, called Star, is well known for waddling around his favorite inns, wearing a bow tie and swigging ale from a glass.
How cute.
Yeah, adorable.
A duck in a wee little bow tie.
The booze-loving duck and his handler, Barry Heyman, are regular sight in the local taverns, some of which even give Star his own stool.
Well, they ought to.
But Star's
probably the one he's pooped on, though.
But Star's drinking days could be over after the altercation with a dog after returning from his favorite watering hole, the Old Courthouse Inn.
Oh, no.
That should be Ye Old Courthouse
Ye
Inn.
Ye Old Courthouse
Inn. Yeah, that's
Inn.
What it should be. I'm going to change the name. Star came to blows and lost out to pooch Meggie, which also belongs to the Star's owner.
I don't think Star came to blows. I think Star got her neck caught in the dog's mouth and just got slung around.
So Meggie, in a way, is Star's brother. Because they're both owned by Barry.
Well, then Barry, it's his fault.
He's grounded. They had a Mexican standoff and stared each other
down. That's racist.
Before the hound pounced. So, you know, dogs don't like to be stared at. And if a duck's staring, I don't like to be stared at by a duck. I might pounce myself.
I'm staring at you right now.
I know, it's weird.
I promise you, it's hurting me more than you.
Leaving the duck with his bottom beak split down the middle. Ooh, busted beak is bad.
I need to 3D print him a new beak.
Barry, age 69, says that the dog tired of the Indian runner's duck's drunken antics.
Easy for you to say.
He said, I'm tired of that duck coming home drunk. And Star finally pushed his luck too far. He rushed the beer-loving Avion to the vets, where he was put on painkillers. He was, or the duck was.
I don't know.
And said he was praying his beloved duck.
Oh, I say he's on painkillers.
Would make a full recovery.
He's going, ow, ow, ow.
Barry said Star pushed his luck too far, and Meggie snapped, splitting his beak right down the middle.
Why do you say we're from Chumley Devon?
I just didn't think it was a
Chumley Devon, because you're afraid to say it.
Not really.
You're afraid to have to read it.
I just skipped it. He gave her a stare, then promptly stood on her back. The duck got on the dog's. See, he did push it too far.
See, the duck's a jerk.
It's not pretty and it's not nice. We were so scared we would lose Star. Star even has his own Facebook page under the name Star. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
It reads, I am an Indian runner duck. My daddy is my best friend. I love Wrigley worms and I follow my dad everywhere. I watch TV with him, especially rugby, and I even share his beer.
It's clear the human wrote that.
Yes,
I'm sure the duck didn't say.
You think
my daddy is my best friend? Maybe his daddy's looking for a best friend. The duck's the only one he can find. I love Wrigley worms.
Sure,
sure you do. Whatever. Jeez, Louise. TV crew's SUV stolen while they film story about crime.
Oh man, that's a little ironic.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. A television news crew in New Mexico gathering footage for a story about crime became part of the story Friday when a thief stole the station's SUV, the Albuquerque Journal reported. KOB News Director Michelle Donaldson said her crew was filming in downtown Albuquerque and watched as the vehicle was stolen. Hey, there goes our vehicle.
Film it.
Hey, waiter, one of you guys driving that right now? I'm right next to you. I think it's getting stolen. The story the crew was shooting footage for was about recent concerns about crime and safety. I have a rule that you can never be the lead of your own newscast, Donaldson said. So this violates that rule.
Yeah, she fired herself.
The news crew recovered the SUV within a half hour without help from police by following the vehicle's GPS tracking device, Donaldson told the Journal. We went to that location and recovered our own stolen vehicle, she said.
So here's another lesson. Do not steal anything that possibly has a tracking device on it.
Right.
If you're going to steal, do it right.
But how will you know if it has it or not?
Well, just don't steal then.
You kind of think a news truck would.
Yeah. Definitely.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay, headline is, for the fourth time, a small Kentucky town elects a dog as mayor.
And this is what's wrong with Kentucky.
It's one of the things. And guess what the name of the place is? Rabbit Hash.
Oh, no.
Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. That sounds like a breakfast dish. I'll have a large rabbit hash and some sweet taters.
Mama's making some rabbit hash tonight, boys.
When you drive into Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, you're thrust back in time. Ouch.
Ow, I just got back in time.
How are we going to get back?
1947.
Porches are still hangouts for young guys to talk girls, and the general store is one-stop shop for anything you need.
Better be. That's all you got.
Every town, no matter how small, needs a leader. Right, Craig?
Right.
After a
quite right
rough election, the spot on
Get
the
it?
Banks of the Ohio River has won. She's very
Get
outgoing.
It? Wait.
Rough.
Rough and
yeah.
The spot.
Yes. On the Ohio River.
Spot.
Yeah.
Spot.
Double
another
funny.
Dog joke.
Yes, it was. She's very outgoing, Bobby Kaiser said. She's the best smile I've ever seen.
Because he hadn't been out of Kentucky.
Jordy Bammer. Yeah, she's got all her. Never mind. They're always inappropriate licking
all her
going
canines.
On. Yes. you might be saying, wait, what? They're talking about a pit bull. A treat-loving, woods-exploring girl.
Oh, great. It's a pit bull, which means if you disagree with her, she just kills you.
You know what her name is? Brenneth Paltrow.
Oh, P-A-W, Paltrow.
After pledging to sniff out the community's problems with a little help from her best friend, she won the election a few months back. And the competition was stiff, Craig. There was a cat, a chicken, a donkey, and a little boy. This dog beat a human.
How bad of a human do you have to be?
That's sad.
To not win.
Brenneth took them all down without much more than a bark. Believe it or not, the pooch is the fourth dog mayor to be unleashed on the city.
Unleashed.
Wow.
Squirrel knocks out power for hundreds.
Oh.
Ready?
Yeah.
On Walnut Street.
Oh, where's Alanis Morissette?
No, because this would actually be irony.
Oh, it wouldn't work then.
It wouldn't work for
her.
We
need a brother that we talked about last episode.
Hundreds. Hundreds, I say.
Whole hundreds?
Of people in central Hamilton. That's the middle of the play.
Oh, when he starts rapping.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're without power Friday morning, thanks to a squirrel that likely met his untimely end.
Now, we don't know that, though, so don't get sad.
Yeah, not yet.
No.
Electra Utilities spokesperson.
I love that name. I want a shirt that says Electra Utilities.
It's not Electra with an E. It's A.
Yes.
Electra.
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 Utility spokesperson John Friesen, because he was really cold at the time.
Well, there was no power. He couldn't turn the heat
right.
on.
Right. Said about 700 customers were without...
That's
700.
Nothing.
Whatever. Were without power for around 45 minutes after the squirrel came into contact with electrical equipment. It happened on Walnut Street.
Yeah.
Because of course it did.
Sure it did.
Near Hunter Street.
Oh. Maybe
another slight irony.
The squirrel was running.
Yeah. Running from Hunter Street.
That's right.
Oh, that's some crazy stuff.
Into the Walnut where it met its end.
Small animals have been known to cause outages on occasion by chewing on wires or getting into the equipment, Friesen said. No, he said, small animals. But did the squirrel make it? I don't really want to comment on the state of the squirrel, but it's safe to say if it came into contact with wires, things wouldn't be in the squirrel's favor.
And he spelled that wrong.
Yeah, he said. So I have a feeling the guy probably spoke like this. I don't really want to comment on the state of the squirrel, but it's safe to say if it came into contact with the wires, things wouldn't be in the squirrel's favor.
That was awesome. Your accents have just... I'm not doing anymore. I'm just done.
Mine are any better, really.
Let's go to Florida. Headline is, Bikini Contest Marred When Woman Clobbers Fellow Competitor in the Head with Her High-Heeled
Shoes.
Hey,
speaking of bikinis and...
clobbering.
Clobbering. Did you see, and I don't think this is in our stories, but did you see where it was a Czechoslovakia or somewhere, Chechnya, somewhere, they were hiring interns. They needed interns.
I did see that.
They did a bikini contest.
Yeah. And they got in trouble.
Did they get in trouble?
They did get in trouble. Yeah, I saw that story as I was doing research for the show, actually. Didn't print it. Because one bikini episode... You know, one bikini story in episodes.
One bikini,
enough.
Two bikini.
Three bikini, no more.
No more.
A bikini contest competitor is facing a battery charge. There it is again.
Well, you know, I mean, you've got to charge them.
You got to charge
them.
They
run out and you've got to charge them.
For allegedly clobbering another female contestant over the head with high heel shoes, Florida police report.
Can we stop and just say, I love you, Florida.
Florida is the bomb.
I'm going next week.
Are you really?
I'm going to be in Florida next week.
Well, good.
I will be signing autographs on the beach.
You doing an
in-store?
You
just have to come find me.
And say, hey.
Just look for the old guy.
There's Craig. Weird.
Wouldn't it be weird if somebody walked up and said, hey, aren't you the weird guy? Can I have an autograph?
You going to wear your weird shirt on the beach?
I might.
Okay. I think you should,
maybe.
Actually.
You never know. Hey, but here's the thing. I'm going to be in Florida. You know, Florida is just, they are just giving us a great, they're doing a great service for
us. Yeah, and Florida is almost the capital of podcast America, by the way. There's a lot of podcasts come out of Florida.
And a lot of crazy idiots.
True, as we've proven. According to the cops, Erica Caitlin Mize, 24, tangled with the victim last month during the Miss Sailfish Regatta Bikini Contest in Stewart on Florida's Treasure Cove.
What kind of police album, the Sailfish Regatta?
So they've got this thing going between them. They don't like each other because this was a month ago. Investigators allege that after the 11 bikini-clad contestants left the stage in Stewart's Waterfront Causeway Park, Mize tussled with the 23-year-old victim, who is the current girlfriend of Mize's former boyfriend.
They tussled.
And there we have it. That's the issue.
There is no tussling publicly like that.
As first reported by Will Greenlee at TCP
Palm,
the victim told cops that Mize warned her that you're in for a rude awakening. because she's, you know, dating.
Well, that's good because she's being rude already.
The victim said that Mize hit her on the head with one of her high heel shoes, according to Martin County Sheriff's Office report.
Why do I see this person stumbling around with a high heel stuck out their eye socket?
The account of the victim, who had a small lump on her head, was backed up by witnesses.
This is Florida. Now, to be fair, that lump may have always been there.
That's true.
We have not had one in a while.
Nope.
We've got two things we like.
Baboons.
A good baboon or a monkey, something like that.
Yeah. Primate.
We got pillaging.
Oh.
We got pooping.
Yes. And we got Airbnb.
And then we'll just add that at the end. Baboons pillage and poop in man's Airbnb. Apparently, a baboon invasion is now another thing that can go wrong when you rent an Airbnb.
Oh, boy.
Neil Cave, Nick's brother, of Jambiani, Tanzania.
Ooh.
That's hard to say three times fast.
Sure it is.
Woke up on May 8th to find three baboons.
Yep.
Feasting on sliced bread and salad in his kitchen. Did you want some?
You think they opened the fridge, pulled the salad out?
Do you think he heard like the silverware tapping on the plates and stuff? And they're like, the K family had left a patio door open to let fresh air in the Airbnb rental, and these baboons saw an opportunity.
Well, you can't blame the baboons.
No, they just saw
the door was wide open.
Who's to say that they had not reserved the place?
He didn't say that.
They don't actually say that.
No, but could be.
The damage from the baboon feast. Oh, goodness, they ate them. Was $66.20 USD. That's $66 to eat those things.
Dang.
Cave didn't specify whether this was just the cost to replace the food the baboons ate or to clean up the poop they thoughtfully discarded throughout the house.
Throughout the house.
Good thing they didn't
have a Roomba.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh. Had to call the cops to get them out, Cave said in a Facebook comment. Seven of them had an hour-long party. House is full of baboon crap and trash. Amazingly, only one coffee cup broken.
Well, that's good.
According to Cave's Facebook comment, the baboons even drank his son's bubble soap. I hope they were like burping bubbles and pooping bubbles. the next day. Today, my son left his bubble soap outside, Cave said in a Facebook comment. The baboons drank it. Now they're up on the roof burping bubbles. Classic. They're not burping bubbles.
I'd love to see that. What if they were?
If it was a Disney movie.
I love California almost as much as Florida. Don't you, Craig?
Yeah. They're both places. They're nice to visit, but I don't want to stay. No offense, California or Florida.
Amen.
But.
Headline is, California researchers accidentally send out alert for a magnitude 6.8 quake.
Look out! I thought you said 6.8.
But this happened in 1925.
I said it can wait!
Los Angeles, the only tremors from a reported major earthquake off the California coast came on the internet. Seismologists said Wednesday's automatically generated report of a magnitude 6.8 quake in the Pacific Ocean, 10 miles west of Santa Barbara, was a false alarm based on a quake that happened in the same area nearly a century
ago.
Sorry,
our bad. Sorry.
You know, that is 6.8 is a pretty darn big quake. I mean, that's...
And for you, a pretty big number.
Oh, please. The quake did happen, Craig, but it happened in 1925.
That's a while back.
Said Raphael Abreu, a geophysicist from the U.S. Geological Survey. The report caused huge ripples on Twitter, see what they did, where dozens of automated tweets were generated, and concerned citizens were hoping the people of California were okay.
We're fine.
But suspiciously, there were no tweets or posts.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't people always be concerned if people of California are okay?
Yes, from having felt a tremor, which usually precedes the alert. The official alerts and come in big numbers. A quake of that size would have been felt by millions.
Millions.
Told you it was a big one.
Yeah. Well, no, it never happened.
No, it didn't.
It happened
in 1925.
Yeah, well, back then.
Way long time, almost 100 years ago.
Hey.
Yeah.
Woman bites waiter.
What?
At Adelaide restaurant.
What?
What?
Why?
A woman accused of biting a waiter on the arm and trying to strangle him.
Oh, gosh.
After failing to pay for a meal. Well, why should the waiter pay for the meal if she ate it? She's been charged with aggravated assault. Police allege the 48-year-old Woodville Gardens woman left the G Street seafood restaurant last night without paying, and when stopped, she bit the waiter on the arm.
Now she's in trouble.
Senior Constable Mick Abbott said the waiter needed to go to the hospital for stitches.
Oh, gosh, that's a serious bite.
It's certainly an unusual incident, I'll give you that, Constable Abbott said. Apparently, she tried to leave without paying, and when she was stopped, she tried to strangle the waiter and then bit him on the arm, causing a nasty cut.
Easy there, Constable.
Actually, the waiter had to go to the hospital requiring stitches, so it was a fair chunk.
Fair chunk. That's gross.
What was fair about it? As well as being charged with aggravated assault, the woman was also charged with failing to pay for meals and is due to face court next month. I hope she doesn't break into a fight in the courtroom.
That's a dine and dash and bite. That's a dine dash bite. We have a new crime.
And a chunk.
And a fair chunk.
Ugh.
Whew. Headline is, cookout turns awkward when North Carolina man pulls gun, robs fellow guest.
Wow.
Yeah, going down to Charlotte, North Carolina. For the second time this summer, a North Carolina cookout has turned bizarre, or weird, as we like to say on this podcast, and ended with someone going to jail. The latest instance happened Saturday in Laurinburg, when one guest pulled a gun amid the festivities and robbed an acquaintance of all his jewelry, police said.
That's odd.
That is weird. Laurinburg police arrested James Seals, age 39, and charged him with robbery with a dangerous weapon, reported the Laurinburg Exchange. Laurinburg is about 2 hours east of Charlotte, if you didn't know. The victim was a guy named Brian Sessoms, and he told police that he was attending a friend's barbecue on Simmons Avenue when Seals robbed him. The two men are acquaintances, it was reported. Seals was jailed under a $30,000 bond. The incident comes just 2 weeks after another cookout in North Carolina in Erdell County ended badly. On the Memorial Day weekend, a man allegedly grabbed a barbecue fork during a cookout and stabbed an acquaintance multiple. What's going on in these barbecues
in
North Carolina?
I don't know, but I got a story.
That alteration began when one man threw a brick into the windshield of another man's parked Cadillac.
Oh, that's not going to. You don't do that.
Guess who it was? It was Michael Mo Dwayne England.
Oh, not Mo.
Hey, Mo, don't throw that brick.
Mo, you mess with a lot of things with Mo, but you don't mess with his caddy.
Mo was age 51, and he's accused of throwing the brick. Yeah, I don't know. At the time, he was accused of throwing the brick, later stabbing the car's owner, Thomas Tommy Henry Freeland, age 46, with the fork.
This reminds me, I've only heard of one other time, not that it doesn't happen a lot, of somebody showing up where they didn't belong and causing a ruckus.
Yeah.
A guy that worked at the same place I worked at a few years ago was some guy showed up and was kind of part of like organized crime in the area.
Uh-oh.
Or something.
Mafia.
But this guy that worked with me at this place, he basically beat the guy so hard he broke his own hand.
Oh my gosh.
And it was funny. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah, okay.
It was funny because you talked to him about it. He's like, just kind of, I still can't really move my hand that well. But the guy was like, I mean, he, not only that, but you've just gotten through beating down a guy that's part of a mob family.
Oh,
you're wondering what the heck's going to happen
surprised
next.
He still has a hand.
But no, apparently it was okay. But I was like, man. So I was thinking the same thing. I've never heard of anybody. That was my random story for today.
Yeah.
It was crazy. We still don't have the theme, by the way.
We do too.
Darn it.
And, That's the only time I can think of that. Why would you have a cookout?
And don't have one in North Carolina.
I'm not going to have one at all.
So this next story is I'm glad you're reading it because you can relate.
Oh, because I just got a roof.
You did. Your roof.
I'm so excited. I just got a new roof.
It's nice, too.
It's a good looking roof.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, you like the part where they put shingles on the top of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
And they use nails.
Yeah.
Last time, Elmer's glue, and that did not work as well. You think duct tape in certain spots would help, but it really didn't.
Well, this is Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, that is true. Roofers mistakenly remove roof off a couple's home.
I thought they
had. I'm guessing they got a free roof. St. Louis. An apparent roofing mistake has come at the worst possible time for Chris and Laura McGinnis. The South St. Louis couple is in the process of selling their home on Avenue. They've already moved out of town and were shocked when neighbors messaged them with the news the roofers had ripped up their shingles and covered the gaps with blue tarp. Someone had come to our house by mistake, we think, and started tearing down our roof for about an hour and quickly realized they had the wrong house and booked it out of there, leaving a huge pile of trash.
So they don't know who did it.
No, it says next to our house, H-O-U-R.
Our
house. They left it next to
hourglass
for an hour outside of our house. Neighbors sent the couple photos of the piles of trash, and they do leave piles of...
Yes,
there's a lot of stuff coming off that
roof. But
they
usually take it with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, when they're doing the job.
Yes.
Not when they're just halfway ripping your roof off and leaving.
Wrong house, fellas, scatter!
one neighbor was able to grab an image of the blue van. Neighbors say the workers were using.
Good.
The image was shared with police, and neighbors are trying to identify the roofers. They've had a few leads, but no resolution.
Oh, no.
Things happen. The wrong roof gets worked on. We expect the people responsible, whether it's the people who did it or the people who employ them, to make it right.
Yeah.
So Chris McGinnis. The mess is especially difficult for the couple to resolve because they're miles from the home and have just days before before the new homeowner will close on the deal. That makes us responsible for the damage because we are still technically the owners of the house, even though we've moved out of it. I say let the insurance companies work it out.
Yeah.
The couple praise neighbors and family members for their support and hope that the roofers will be identified and will make good on the. You know what will happen? Hopefully, if it's a good area they're in, that there'll be a roofer will step up and take care of it for them, maybe.
Hopefully.
Because it'll be perfect press for them.
Yeah, now it's made the news and all. You know, yeah, wouldn't
not?
Hurt.
Why not? Hey, you talk about Wooster now.
Well, let's talk about Tesla. You know, they have those driverless cars. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't work that well, but okay.
Well, one guy would argue.
Yeah, one guy.
Headline well, is, yeah. But now we've got a driverless Amish buggies. So technology has really gone
sky high. How can that be?
They don't use technology.
They don't use it.
Wooster police stopped driverless Amish buggy with energetic horse.
Wow. So the horse just took it for a ride.
Yeah, horse took off. This comes to us from Wooster, Ohio.
Who is better equipped to take care of that
than
the horse? No, the horse is the one pulling it around.
A horse is a horse.
Of course. But what I'm trying to say about that horse is that he's the one that's best qualified to drag it around, right?
Yes, he is.
So why worry about it?
That's his job.
You think that horse, just because there are a couple of bearded dudes in the car with him, and I'm talking about the ladies also, and that they have a problem, you know, if a car comes towards them, that horse doesn't know how to move out of the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The horse doesn't need to be told when to stop.
No.
The horse is being cordial.
The horse is being a horse. I've told you.
Of course. But the horse, of course, is just trying to get where they're going, and he's giving the illusion to the Amish guy. Are you okay?
Yes.
To the Amish guy that he's in control when the horse is really in control. So what I'm getting back at,
go ahead,
is that the horse can drive this thing around with nobody in it. He knows what he's doing.
Absolutely, but it's still a driverless.
Of course, it's a horse. Of course.
Wooster, Ohio. Police had to make an unusual stop after finding a driverless Amish buggy going down the road. Nothing wrong with that, as Craig just explained.
No.
In a Facebook post, the Wooster Police Department says a horse apparently decided to go ahead.
I was going to say horses are smarter than you give them credit for.
Of course.
You know? So they're gonna be able to make their way down the road without any problems.
I'm just glad we're not a video podcast. I'm crying.
So anyway,
in a Facebook post, the Wooster Police Department says a horse.
We should be laughing. That's called Wooster.
Apparently decided to. That was oddly enough. That was the horse's name too.
Hey, Wooster.
Apparently decided to take a morning run Sunday without its owners. Officers found the buggy heading down State Route 250, and one sergeant jumped inside and managed to get the horse to stop. He jumped inside the horse.
Why? That must have been nasty.
No wonder the thing stopped. Police said the horse was very excited and tired.
What?
I don't know, but otherwise unhurt. Police were able to track
you
down
the horses.
Owners.
Turn around and went, hey.
No, seriously, you got any hey?
Hey.
Every new day brings its new challenges, the police department's Facebook post declared. This driverless buggy took a morning run. Apple Creek Police and Wooster, Ohio State Patrol managed to get the buggy stopped at 250 by ATI. No one was hurt. The horse was very excited and tired, as we said. The owners were found, and the horse was turned over to them.
They
turned the horse over.
No, they were turned over to them.
Would you jump into the buggy like Sergeant Smith did, Craig?
I would. I just wonder if they went back and found a couple of Amish people like in the ditch somewhere. Like, ow.
What happened?
That crazy horse done stole my cart.
Say, Adonijah, where'd Wooster go?
In Florida, I went berserk.
Security guard arrested after pulling over a Miami police officer.
I love
officer.
It. I love it when this happens.
It happened in Nashville area. Got pulled over a speeding police officer.
Yeah.
And I think that guy won.
The guy tried to
get up in the guy's face and you know, the guy called the cop out for it. He was driving.
So it was a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, basically.
Well, this wasn't. This was a cop wannabe playing cop.
But what I'm saying is, if the guy did something wrong, he could do a citizen's arrest.
Sure, he could. Yeah.
I mean, he could.
Well, and technically speaking,
maybe
this
if we
was
read the
wrong.
Story, we'd find out.
I already read it.
Miami. A man. What is that?
I don't know.
Hi, Leah.
Yes. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, Leah.
Hey, Leah. Leah man. Who works as a security guard was arrested Wednesday after he pulled over a City of Miami police officer because she was talking on her cell phone. Authorities said, okay. Wait a second.
That's it.
Is Florida, is it a state?
I do not know.
If it is illegal to talk on your phone,
I don't know.
Then there's some reason to believe that you need to be on your little walkie talkie thing and get off your cell phone. All right?
Yes.
As far as I know, there's no law against asking an officer to pull over and then saying, you know, it's not like
know.
You're not allowed.
I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, the thing is, we
especially
pay their
salaries.
Especially
if I'm dressed as a cop and I'm not really a cop.
Well, yeah, that may be the that may have been the line that was crossed.
Yeah.
According to an arrest report, the officer was driving when Milton Moraes Perez, 46, pulled up next to her in a 2010 white Ford Mustang. Police said she was in her unmarked police-issued Taurus and was in full police uniform. Authorities said Morales Perez flashed a silver badge at... Oh, wait a minute. So he flashed a badge at the officer and told her to roll down her window and hang up the phone.
So she was in uniform, but she was in an unmarked car. So he just didn't know.
Fallett said, I'm just going to say Fallett because I don't know how to pronounce her name.
That's probably right.
Fallett said she heard the suspect tell her in Spanish, police, stop the car.
No, it's policia. El hotel de Carlo.
Policia.
Yeah, policia.
Policia. I think it's policia.
El hotel de
You know, if Miguel
Carlo.
Actually listened to our podcast, he could tell us.
Yeah.
I think it's policia.
I think it is too.
I think it's policia. Stop the car.
Yeah.
Fallett immediately used her police radio to call for backup because she didn't know how to stop her own car.
No, she didn't know how to back it up.
No, she didn't. two officers, she called for Wilbur. What was the horse's name a minute ago?
Wooster.
Wooster. She called for Wooster Clogburn, the horse. Two officers arrived at the scene and arrested Morales Perez. On a charge of impersonating a police officer. He said, I was impersonating a security officer, sir.
Which I am.
Police said when he asked why he was carrying a badge, he said that he was a security guard. Police said also asked him why he tried to pull over Fallett, to which they said he replied, she was on the phone, and it was very dangerous to be on the phone while driving. Local 10 News reporter Terrell Forney spoke to Morales Perez Thursday, who said that that he believes the incident was a misunderstanding. He said he never claimed to be a police officer and that Fallett must have seen his security uniform. Morales Perez, if I have to say that one more time, I'm going to strangle myself, said he did tell her that it was dangerous to talk on the cell phone, but said Fallett pulled up in front of his car and yelled, what did you say to me?
I'm a real cop.
What did you say to me? Perez, who has a clean criminal record, which I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I want people with clean records. I don't want to have to handle those things if they are filthy.
This dangerous.
You got to wipe them down before.
Yes.
Like if I go like to you and you're a police officer, say, hey, could you pull me that record?
Yeah. And it's dirty?
It's dirt. I don't want to touch it.
Mm-mm.
I want it to be a clean criminal record. Anyways, now he does not have a clean one anymore.
No.
Charge pending against him that he believes is unfair.
It is not possible to explain in English.
I think maybe. This guy.
Wait, that was the ending line of the story.
Yeah.
It's like a cliffhanger.
It is not possible to explain in English.
The end.
The end.
I think the guy may actually have just been trying to help. I don't think he was acting like a cop. He saw a lady on her phone.
Well, here's the thing.
If that's illegal.
If it's illegal, but it didn't sound like that was it. This sounds like he just thought it was unsafe.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? We got a sports story.
Okay. I'll be back.
No, this is a good one. You're going to like this one.
Oh, I saw this. This was actually me on the pogo stick.
Man shatters world record in plum for fastest mile on a pogo stick. In a plum.
I certainly hope he's going to pay for that record that he shattered.
Drew McQuiston came to Plum High School.
Our records, I thought the originals are wax or something.
Yeah, they're wax.
And then the vinyl doesn't shatter when you drop it. It was an old Victrola.
I bet it was.
Because those are fragile. Those are very fragile.
They're from Italy. They're fragile.
If you drop it, ooh.
Yeah, from Italy.
It's very exotic.
Drew McQuiston came to Plum High School with a goal in mind.
Drew McQuiston.
In Saturday's attempt to set a Guinness World Record for the fastest mile on a pogo stick, he hoped to break 8 minutes.
Why do people...
He breaks a lot of stuff.
He really does. Yeah, I'd break about 3 ribs. Why do people really still try to do this Guinness thing?
Yes, they do.
When we were kids, before there was the internet and stuff, back in the early 1812s. 1812s, 1800s. So the we had books to look at.
Sure,
we looked at the
They were made out of paper.
They were made out of paper from trees.
Yep.
Well, you were a little older. Yours is papyrus. Yours
whatever.
Was like papyrus. Papyrus. Is it papyrus or papyrus?
Either way,
I like papyrus because it sounds almost like pineapple. What does that mean?
With family and friends from his home in Chester County supporting
what did that
him,
mean?
As well as several dozen Plum residents on hand.
Oh, I like plums
to
too.
Witness the pogo stand. McQuiston smashed the previous. There he goes.
He's
again.
Smashing other stuff.
The previous record.
He
of
needs to go
minutes.
To anger management.
He bounced his way into the record books with a time of 7 minutes 40 seconds. I knew I could break the record. I was pretty confident because I break all kind of stuff, but I didn't know if I was going to be under 8 minutes, said McQuiston, a student at the University of Delaware. Hey, what did Delaware? A New Jersey. This time, the whole thing was it just felt so surreal.
That was one.
The fact that there were people in the stands who didn't even know me were cheering me on.
They didn't know me.
I couldn't believe it, man. There were really some great people in Plum and throughout this area. McQuiston said he was overwhelmed with nervous energy at the start, but that the energy helped him as he got going.
I would have taken four hops and landed face first on the concrete.
I'd be lucky to get four. He clocked the first of four laps on the Plum High School track at 1 minute 44 seconds. I went out pretty fast, and I was a little scared that I went out too fast, McQuiston said. My first lap was pretty quick, and obviously I wanted to keep that up. As was to be expected, McQuiston slowed down from his first lap, but he had built up enough time equity to recover in case of the stumble. But still, he didn't fall once during his four-lap excursion.
He fell twice.
Ryan said he's not sure if the record will make it into the Guinness book that is released each year, but he's hopeful nonetheless. Only 2% of all Guinness records are put in the book each year because there are so many.
And nobody cares.
But this is a cool one, so I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to put it in.
Wow. Hey, the next one?
Yeah.
This is something I can get behind right here.
I tell you, me too. I like both of these things, by the way.
Oscar Mayer wiener drone designed to make it rain hot dogs.
Can you imagine?
Make it rain, Oscar Mayer. That's a reference to a video. You got to know it.
I love hot dogs, and not really. I'll eat a hot dog, but I do love drones.
I could throw a hot dog right now, and you'd run after it.
I probably would. I'm pretty hungry.
It's not a bird, it's not a plane, and it's definitely not Superman. Oscar Mayer is adding a drone to its Wienermobile fleet.
That's
nice. Not a Wienermobile, though. It's a Wiener drone.
Well, it could be a Wienermobile drone.
I guess.
Yeah.
One, the company says will drop hot dogs on hungry earthbound customers. I thought I was going to drop them in Hungary.
Earthbound customers?
Earthbound
where are
customers
they?
Below.
Earthbound?
The ones that are on the way to Earth.
Yeah.
One wiener at a time. The drone
I'd rather do like a bunch, like a dozen at a time.
I know. I want to see it drop it. It has to land in the bun wherever you're standing. And then I want the stream of ketchup and mustard
yes.
to squirt out and drop like, I don't know, hundreds of feet into the bun. The drone is 15 inches wide without propellers, 24 inches long, and weighs about 6 pounds. It can fly for up to 15 minutes. That's better be a quick meal right
That's
there.
That's what my drone flies.
If you ever used it. Yeah. Around a mile. You should just give that to me, by the way.
No way. I still use it.
Around a mile total, carrying a single hot dog at an altitude of 1,200 feet.
That's what? A lot of work for That's, one hot
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, this is marketing.
They said they make it rain hot dogs.
That's not raining.
No, that's dropping a hot dog.
That's not raining. That's
no.
like a bird flying over dropping a fish on your head.
Exactly, and that's happened.
I've been throwing a lot of these throwback things in
I know.
Lately.
People need
that?
To listen to the old episodes.
The Wiener drone, joined by fellow newcomer the Wiener Cycle.
Now we're talking.
Will debut its hot dog dropping capabilities in Wiener, Arkansas
of course
on the 4th
it will.
Of July.
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer says as part of a campaign promoting its overhauled hot dogs.
Ooh, I don't want an overhauled hot dog.
What's overhauled about them? They start putting real meat on them?
I think so.
The dogs are now free of all added nitrites, byproducts, and it's the byproducts you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
And artificial preservatives. It's but still, we have no idea what meat's in
still
it.
Still don't know.
It's unclear whether or not these drones will also dispense condiments.
That was your joke. They stole it.
According to the company, the Wiener drone is the first unmanned hot dog. I know what's happening.
That ain't bad, though. You've had a good run.
According to the company... According to the company, the Wiener drone is the first unmanned hot dog carrying aircraft designed for remote location delivery. However, it's worth noting that the Philly Fanatic has been launching hot dogs from pressurized Wiener guns at let's try that again. Philly
Fanatic.
That worries me the way it's spelled. However, it's worth noting that the Philly Fanatic has been launching hot dogs from a pressurized Wiener gun at baseball fans since 1996. He has also been known to turn the Wiener gun on rival mascots.
And I'll tell you this. I like a good mascot. There's none better than the Philly Fanatic. He is the best mascot in all sports, hands down.
I don't know what he is.
Oh, he's the best. You'll just have to trust me.
I don't want
to
know.
Headline is, and this is another one from you. This is a good one, too.
I got some good ones.
China cracks down on latest fad toy, the toothpick crossbow.
I saw these things.
I want one.
I know. We could probably print one.
They're really, let's try.
We should print one.
We should.
By let's, you mean me?
Yeah, let's.
Let's.
Beijing. Forgets fidget spinners.
Please.
China
you
has.
Know, by the way, fidget spinners.
Yeah.
Is all right, people. It was fun and games at first. It was
right.
cute.
Yeah.
Went to Walmart the other day, and my son E.
Yeah.
He's ready to start throwing punches whenever he sees the displays because they're everywhere.
Yeah. It's the fad.
And it's hit this level where you can't look any direction without seeing them.
I saw one on my boss's desk today.
And at Walmart. no less, no, I'm not even exaggerating, no less than at least 8 different locations in the store.
Oh.
We saw an entire end cap or an area that was just covered from top to bottom with them.
Make you want to fidget?
Walmart doing their, Walmart doing their part to get this phenomenon out of the way.
Yeah. Because it's out of here.
It's hit mainstream now, and you can get them at Walmart all day. They're gonna be, it's going to be done here
20
soon.
Years from now, you'll see them at the flea market. You go,
You're going to look back 20 years from now. It's going to show up on those list of what was the fad in 19...
Yeah, like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. So in 2017, the fad was fidget spinners and weird podcasts.
But we're not talking about fidget spinners right now. We're not supposed to be anyway.
Well, I just want to get that out there. It's making me...
China has a much more dangerous toy fad driving adults crazy. People in 3 Chinese provinces are raiding toy shops to seize miniature crossbows that shoot toothpicks.
We need to print one of these.
We really do.
And then we need to record it.
Yes.
Film us doing it.
Put it on our YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel?
Kind of. Parents have taken to social
media. Yeah, YouTube.com.
Parents have taken to social media to express their concerns as they fear the crossbows can be loaded with sharp objects and cause real harm.
They are loaded with sharp objects.
This is not a toy, but a mini weapon of destruction. Yan Yan, a mother, commented on Weibo, China's answer to Twitter. Police in the eastern province of Zhejiang sent 3,973 officers. That's a little bit heavy.
That's a lot.
To check businesses and confiscated 528 miniature crossbows. Police in Yunnan and Xi'an in China's southwest conducted similar operations.
Sichuan.
Business owners shouldn't sell toys that are physically or mentally harmful to my... What kind of toy is mentally harmful? I guess video games could be
those
argued.
Kim Jong-un toys.
Oh, those are bad.
Those action figures?
In the province capital of Xi'an, once found... Oh, wait a minute. Once found, the products will be pulled from the shelves and the businesses will be punished. I don't want to be punished in China.
No.
Despite its tiny size, a toothpick launched by the crossbow is powerful enough to pierce an aluminum can.
Yes, I'm talking about.
From 20 to 66 feet, according to a toy package shown in a video by China's state broadcaster CCTV. It can cause even more damage if loaded with harder, you think? Harder ammunition
but
like
you can
needles.
See, okay, when we were, again, back in the 1800s, we were kids, right?
Yeah.
I remember being at school one time and some idiot stuck a needle in a chair.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat on it.
Oh, crap.
And I came up quick.
I bet you did. You didn't know you were about to get a shot.
Could you imagine? Oh, it was worse than that because it wasn't a needle like a, you know, it was, and it was a pen or something. Anyway, the thing is that, imagine now you being, you're sticking needles or any sharp
object. Oh, you go to jail.
No, if you don't put an eye out or hurt, you could. Yeah, you know, it could get under the skin and cause a very bad infection.
According to state media, the toothpick crossbow costs as little as $1 and is sold.
Doesn't everything in China?
It's sold in kiosks near elementary and middle schools. Until this week, it could be easily purchased on China's leading e-commerce site like JD.com and Taibo.com.
Taibo?
Yeah. However, the listings of the crossbows are now nowhere to be found on these sites.
You know, I've seen the ones that shoot like Q-tips.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be safe. Hey, it's time for the Flash Checkus.
Let's not say that this week because he didn't pay his
bill.
You
know what?
It's the Mark Patch.
It's the Mark Patch. You know what? I think Flaz.
Yeah.
Chakas. I think he's run his course.
I don't know what's wrong with him. But
you know
Mark Patch is he's helping out in all kind of ways.
Mark Patch, now add to his list of things musician, fan of the show, author.
Author? Yeah.
I saw he restored a snare drum today he was going to be selling.
Yep.
Is there anything Mark Patch does not do?
No, and I put his book on
I'll tell you
on
one
our,
thing he doesn't do.
What?
Come visit us.
Well, that's true.
Hey, I'm going to Oklahoma next month. Maybe I should hook up with him.
That might be close.
Well, Oklahoma's not really close. No, it's the same distance it was yesterday. What did you mean by that? Oh, you meant maybe he's nearby. Mark Patch needs to contact me and let me know where he is in Oklahoma because I'm going to be in Oklahoma City area.
Well, Mark Patch sent us this top 10 things to love about
weird. I'll be signing autographs.
Still.
On the beach.
Your hand's going to be tired.
On the beach in Oklahoma. There is no beach in Oklahoma.
From Mark Patch, top 10 things to love about weird. Number 11.
Are you kidding me?
Number 11.
I am blushing. This is about us.
Yes, it is. You see what he did?
Yeah, top 10. Number 11.
Number 11.
Because you know why with Mark?
Yeah.
It goes to 11.
Everything he does goes to 11.
Yeah. See, well, why didn't he just renumber them, change the level so they
no,
only
this
went
one goes
to 10,
to 11.
Because that one goes to 11.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Number 11. It's family friendly.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we keep it clean.
Number 10.
Yep.
Top 10 list.
I like the way you put that at number 10. Number 9, stories about squirrels, monkeys, alligators. We've had all those things on this episode.
Yeah.
Spiders and snakes and their unique interaction with mankind.
And their wee little top hats and their little...
their bus trips.
Their little bus trips, their little steamer trunks. Number 8 of the top 10 things to love about weird. Australians.
Australians?
We, yeah, mate.
Did you say Australians?
Yeah. Aussie, oi, oi, oi. But you know, we got to also be fair and say we love the Kiwis too.
Absolutely.
Over there in New Zealand. We may only have one listener, but we love them.
Number 7, police and taco burrito stories.
You do get a lot of that here.
We've had a lot of them.
Yep. And let's see, number 6.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is really true.
This should probably be number 1.
Aaron's Asian.
Ah, yeah.
And Australian accent.
That's right, mate.
Yeah, that's not really.
Number 5, Craig's old-timey New York gangster accent.
What's he talking about? One more peep at you, Patch, and I'll buddy a necktie.
Oh.
What are you looking for over there? He's like, you look, what are you doing?
I'm looking for a button because for the next one.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Maybe we should just tighten that up right there.
I probably will.
Okay. Well, number 4 was yours.
No, I had Greg's old-timey gangster accent.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sorry. Number 4. Fecal surprise.
Fecal surprise.
Number 3.
Darn it.
The darn it button.
Darn it.
Number 2. And this is modest of him not to put this at number 1.
Isn't that nice?
He is so humble.
Yeah.
Just ask him.
I would have put it at number 1.
Just ask him.
Yeah.
Number 2. The theme music.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's really good. And the number 1 thing to love about Weird